It's a wonderful treat to be here in Columbus, Georgia. It's been a number of years since we've been down in here. It's such a treat to be here with you tonight. We had a hard time finding the tent. Ordinarily, I would have come right over to it, but for some reason, the Lord led me around in two or three different places, and I had a chance to witness to different ones here in Columbus, so I perceived that He was wanting me to tell somebody about Jesus, whereas we did. And you know, I come to the meetings. We've been fortunate to preach all over the United States, Canada, Mexico, and into the islands and foreign countries, Palestine, Europe. I've enjoyed my ministry. I've enjoyed the Word of the Lord in a wonderful way. We've been blessed, and you know, we have won many people as friends across the world. Been on many radio stations, sometimes as high as 13 of some of the biggest in the world. But there's one thing that I have learned, that the church world in general, now I'm not speaking of the people that are not in the church, but I'm speaking of the people that are in the church, are so shadow in the Word of God and know so little about the things of God until it's almost impossible to preach a sermon to people. You have to go in and find some scripture and read to them and feed them, you know, a little bit at a time to where they can understand and where they can digest it, and just take a little simple message and preach to them faith and divine deliverance and something that will encourage them to be able to go on for God. But this does not change the heart of the minister, in that his longing and deepest desire is to make known to the people the great and mighty things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul one time spoke of his much revelation from God and said unto the people, said, I would like to speak unto you as spirituals, but seeing that you're bathed in Christ, I cannot. And he said, then just desire the sincere milk of the Word. So it's a very rare thing for you to be able to preach the revelation of Jesus Christ that John received on the Isle of Patmos and Paul received in the Arabian desert. So then we continue to go on, and there's a few places, especially back at Little Bethlehem at the Tabernacle, people that we've worked with for a number of years, that we're able to break the revelation to, and there they record it, they put it on tapes, and they send it out to people around the different parts of the world. That way people can go into their own bedchambers, different places, and sit down and listen to the tapes over and over until they begin to understand. Whereas under the tent in different places, you might preach a sermon to a person tonight, you may never see them again. You might say just enough, if you try to get into Revelation, you might say just enough to make them question what you're preaching and never come back anymore. Because people, how many of you understand that people live within the environment of their own little world? Are you listening to me now? See, people live within the environment of their own thinking. Isn't that right? Amen. All right, I want to read a little scripture here. And I want you to listen to me tonight, and I want to try to talk with you for just a few minutes before I preach to you. Just get acquainted a little bit. This is the first time that I've ever met you people. And I'd like to get acquainted with you just a little bit. All right, now, over in the book of St. John, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. And it's in the sixth chapter of the book of St. John. And I'd like for you to listen here real close as I read a little scripture to you. In the 47th verse of the sixth chapter, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. Now, I want to dwell just a few minutes on some things here, talk to you about the Word of God. First of all, most of us will readily admit that we don't want to die. How many of you would like to live forever? See, there's one thing that we've all got in common tonight, and that is, unless Christ undertakes, we're all going to die. Isn't that right? Amen. The elderly people here are not far from death. Amen. The younger people here, in the day that we're living in, it's death on every corner, and many of them are passing away at a young age. Amen. The Bible said, in the last days, young men's hearts shall fail them for fear of looking after those things that are to come upon the world. Now, so then you don't want to die, I don't want to die, and the reason that God sends the ministry is for one purpose. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it in great abundance or more abundance. And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. God is a spirit, and he is the spirit of life, and the thing that all of the world is searching for is life. Millions of dollars, billions of dollars are spent every year in medical research searching for a way to sustain life or to restore youth or some way that they might be able to extend life. Is that right?
Amen.
But they've not been able to find it. They will never be able to find it because there's but one form of life, that's Christ.
Amen.
When a person rejects Christ, life is gone. Youth is gone. Wealth is gone. Happiness is gone. Joy is gone. Everything is gone when a person rejects Christ.
Amen.
That's why people resort to the television programs and the ball games and the swimming pools and the races and all the excitements of the world. They are looking for a little something that might spark life again. Something that may make them feel better. Something that might take away the heaviness and the load and the weirdness of life that they feel. But they still don't find it in that. That's a temporal inspiration that comes from the life of the natural birth. That's the only inspiration that you'll ever find, is an inspiration from natural birth until you come to know Jesus and to know the new birth. Jesus spoke after this manner, I am the bread that comes down from heaven, Jesus said. They that eat of this bread shall never die. When he met the woman at the well and the woman began to speak to Jesus, there he told her, he said, if you drink of this water here, you'll thirst again. But he said, there is a water that I know about that you don't know about. And said, if you ever get a drink of this water, you will never thirst again. Never again. Now, let me say this tonight. You know, we are so quick to judge people. Isn't that right? If there's a man that's running for president, right away we judge him and we look at him on television or hear him on the radio or read about it in the newspaper. And right away we judge him and we say, well, that's the way we feel about him. There's a neighbor. We judge the neighbor right away. We judge our wives. We judge our children. Isn't that right? We judge the people, but we never judge ourselves.
Amen.
But the very one that God commanded us to judge was our own state of being.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
You don't have have any right to judge another man's servant.
Right.
All of us belong to God. We don't have any right to judge one another, but the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
But a person will feel this way. Well, Brother Pike, I've got the right to judge. And that is true. The Bible said, judge righteous judgment.
Yeah.
Got a right to reason, but the Bible said, come and let us reason together. Speaking of the Word.
Amen.
We have no right to reason outside of the Word. No right to lean to our own understanding, for the Bible tells us not to lean to our own understanding.
Amen.
But to trust in the Lord with all of our heart.
Yes. Amen.
So then, what do we do? Young people, old people, middle-aged people, teenagers, whatever it might be, you've got a world. Isn't that right? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, my world is the environment that I see out here around me. But that's wrong. Your world is your thinking. You have one world, and that's your little realm of thinking. Whatever you think, that's your word. You understand? Your soul, your life consists of what you think. In other words, you orbit around that one little place up there. That's all that you know. If you've been to college, now like this young brother here, 6 years of college, if you've been to college and you've got a great extensive outlook of things in the intellectual field, isn't that right? You're broad-minded. You've got a great world. If you traveled as far as California, Florida, you've got a greater outlook. Now then, so then we all orbit around in this little world of ours.
Right.
Some of us are more limited than others. We judge people according to the world and our environment of thinking.
Amen.
That's the way we judge humanity. Instead of searching out the Word of God and understanding God and understanding God's ways. What we do is judge people according to our own thoughts, our own little world, instead of trying to broaden our world, trying to understand it. The Bible said even the children of this world are wiser in their ways than the children of light. Why is that? Because they broaden their world, they broaden their understanding. They go to college, they go to school, they spend their time in study as lawyers and doctors and everything in the world.
Amen.
But a lot of times the church people sit in just one little place. They never broaden their understanding. They never search the Scriptures.
Right.
Jesus said to the Jews one time, they thought that they were such great people and had such great knowledge. And Jesus said, "It search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life."
Amen.
Come on, folks.
Amen.
I said, Jesus said, you think that you have eternal life.
Amen.
The Baptists feel they've got eternal life. The Methodists feel that they've got eternal life.
Amen.
The Catholics feel that they've got eternal life.
Yeah.
The Pentecostals feel that they've got eternal life.
Yeah.
But the Bible said, search the Scriptures.
Yeah.
For in them ye think ye have eternal life. Is that right?
Amen.
But these are they that testify of me, Jesus said.
Amen.
Now then, when Jesus said that, he was speaking to the Jews. The Jews denied Christ. They did not believe that he was the Messiah. Jesus said, search these Scriptures. You Jewish people, you feel that you've got eternal life. He said, but search the Scriptures, for these are they, the prophets, the Scriptures. These are they that testify of Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
All the prophets and laws, he said, testify of me.
Yes.
If you had eternal life, he said, you would have known me, because all the Scriptures testify of my coming. And so it is today.
Amen.
You know, just a few weeks ago, we come back from Palestine. And there we was in Capernaum, the same place we read about here.
Right.
And I observed the Jews, and I observed the visitors. I observed the different people from over the nation. And I talked to some of them, preached to some of them there in Palestine. And I thought, God, these are no different from anybody else. It's no wonder that God has put everybody on the same plane of living, placed them in the same category of life, because the Jews are no different from anybody else. Paul said God has concluded them all unto sin. All of them have gone astray. Every man has turned to his own way.
Right.
And God has laid upon him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all.
Amen.
He was chastised for my iniquities and my healings.
Yeah.
Christ went to Calvary for me. Oh, if we could see that tonight, if our world and the broadness of our mind tonight could reach out and see what I'm speaking of.
As we crossed the Sea of Galilee on the boat, as I preached to the people, I thought about it as I saw the great Sea of Galilee and remembered as Peter walked upon the waters by faith in God. And I thought, Lord, how limited the church is today. If men of old that were supposed to be ignorant and unlearned, that didn't know anything about God, could walk on the water. And us in this day that's supposed to be the advanced church is in the condition we're in. And where are we, folks? Amen. It looks like the church world is going backwards, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen. It looks like they're going backwards. We're supposed to be the great church that's prepared for the rapture. The coming of the Lord, we're supposed to be the great scholars that have the answer. Isn't that right? But if the truth of it is, Jesus said the last church would be Laodicea, would be lukewarm, would say that we're rich and have need of nothing, and not recognize the fact that it is the coming of the Lord, that they were wretched and naked and blind.
Amen.
So then where are we today?
Indeed.
We're supposed to be the great church. Of the hour, the rapture is at hand. Oh my. As God called me away with Him and God began to speak to me, I had fasted and I had prayed and I had sought God. Sometimes for many long hours without getting off of my knees, I prayed and talked to God and read the scriptures for many multiplied hours. But one day Jesus said to me, I want to tell you something. After fasting, after praying, after spending years with God, after hearing the greatest Bible scholars of the land, I thought, what can God tell me that I don't already know? I prayed, I studied, I read the Bible, I went from cover to cover again and again and again. And I thought, what can He tell me? But folks, when you think you know something, you don't know something as you ought to know.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The church world today thinks they know something, but they don't know something that they ought to know.
Amen.
And that they ought to know is that the revelation of Christ is still here from the church of today. And God has preserved it for this last hour. Not to give it to the church world. Not to give it to the people of the world. But to give it to the saints of God that will come into the secret places of God with Him. To get them ready to go in the rapture.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jimmy Carter doesn't have the answer. Hallelujah. Amen. Ronald Reagan doesn't have the answer, neither does Ford. Amen. All the rest of them don't have the answer. But God has the answer. Hallelujah. As I rode down the road today, I told my wife, I said, man is nothing less than a fool, Betty, to think that he can rule the earth without God. He's nothing less than a fool to feel that he can handle mankind, which is God's creation, without God and God's understanding. Hallelujah. No wonder Washington was so great in his administration. No wonder Abraham Lincoln was so great. It's because they took God into the arrangement. And brother, today if we take God into our homes today, our homes will become great. Our understanding will become great. And our understanding will enlarge. And our world will enlarge. And then we'll know what God has for the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God.
So then what is it? This is the greatest hour that mankind has ever known.
Amen.
Hallelujah. On the radio, they advertise miracles. All you have to do is pull in and get them by the bushels. Just load your wagon down with them. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, don't you believe in that? I sure do. Lying, signs, and wonders. Load your truck up with them. Amen. In the synagogues, they've got all kind of learning today. All kind of books. They sell you this book and that book and another book. And then when you get through, all you know is just exactly what they know.
Uh-huh. Amen.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Come on. Yeah.
What is it? They've turned the house of God into a place of merchandise, folks.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what Jesus did when He came and He turned onto the money tables.
Yeah.
Took the whip and popped the whip. Everybody's looking for an offering. Everybody's looking for a name. Everybody's looking for popularity. Everybody's looking for a position. But God's looking for saints.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. God's looking for holiness. God's looking for righteousness.
Amen.
God's looking for something on the inside of us, people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I never knew. I never understood. I never realized that God was so great. I never knew the plan of salvation was so great. I never knew the things of God was so rich. I never understood what Paul meant when he said the treasures of God. I never knew what he was talking about. I'd been to the Baptist church, I'd been to the Methodist people, I'd been to the Catholic people, I've been to all kinds of people. But folks, they haven't got it. Amen. Amen. Love the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me they haven't got it? They haven't got it.
All right, amen.
Amen, it ain't bad. Can you say they don't know about Jesus? Sure, they know about Jesus. They know about Jesus. The Baptists, some of them know more than Pentecostals do. Amen. Some of them know about Jesus. Hallelujah. But that's not enough. It's like people say, I received the Holy Ghost. They say, repent. Receive the Holy Ghost. Confess your sins and God will fill you with the Spirit. And that's good.
Yeah.
Amen. They'll tell you to do that, but there's one thing about it, my brothers and sisters. There's more to it than being filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Somebody said, if I've got the Holy Ghost, that's all it takes, my brother. But God said something else.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, there's something else. What is that Holy Ghost for? Did you know when a child is born into this world, he's got life. Isn't that right? But that life is just beginning to mold him into a great human being of understanding. It takes years of development. It takes following after life and growing in the stature of a man to come to the fullness.
Amen.
Glory.
That's why God commanded us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Grow, my brother.
Yeah.
Grow, my sister. How? In the grace of God, grow.
Amen.
Grow. How can we grow? Grow to the fullness of the stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How can we do it? In the knowledge of the Lord. In the knowledge of the Lord. What is the Holy Ghost for? Listen, brothers and sisters. When you get the Holy Ghost, you just have got life. You just have come into the world. You a little tottering baby. Amen. You a little tottering baby.
Amen.
Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that. I sure do. Amen. I sure do. They say, you need to tell me if the mighty Holy Ghost of God's on the inside of you that you're just a little tottering baby. I need to tell you, if you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, you can still be a little tottering baby.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. God deals right. The Spirit by measure. How do you believe that?
Amen.
Right.
Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, how do you believe he had the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Amen. But he was a little big boy. Isn't that right?
Right.
Glory to God. It's over in Nazareth a few days ago where he played when he was a little kid out on the streets there. Amen. Right now in Nazareth, in the little city of Nazareth, it's a big city now. Right there in the bookstore, in the hospital, different places. The tracks that I ride on faith goes out into Nazareth. Amen. Those people need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Being a Jew is not enough. Amen. Paul said he's a Jew outward, he's not a Jew. But he is Jew inwardly.
Amen.
That's the true Jew. There's no difference with God. Amen. We're all God's people.
Amen.
That's why I say man is foolish. President, leaders, whatever. Man is foolish to try to lead God, God's creation, God's people, and God's way of life.
Amen.
Without having contact with God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I made a statement not too long ago. The Baptists will start speaking in tongues.
Right.
Somebody said it never happened. It'll happen as sure as you live.
Yeah.
Amen. I saw it in a vision. Saw it in Revelation as well.
Oh.
Somebody said they won't do that, Brother Pike, but they will do it.
Yeah.
I made the statement also that the entire world would go Pentecostal. Hallelujah. Somebody said, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that you believe the Methodist is going to turn to the Pentecost and that the Baptist is going to turn to the Pentecost? I mean to tell you that your president will go Pentecost, the Baptist will go Pentecost, the Methodist will go Pentecost, and the Catholics will go Pentecost. All of them will go Pentecost.
All right, amen.
Oh, somebody said, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. Amen. Paul said, this thing wasn't done in the corner. I'm not screaming and yelling about some wild idea I got or something I heard. Hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen, I'm telling you what I know I heard from heaven. As the song said, I just got an answer. Amen, I tuned in on heaven. Something's happening up there in that place, folks, that some of you don't know anything about. Amen. You need to tune in on glory. The entire world will go Pentecost.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. While I was over in Palestine a few days ago, we stopped into a place there. Had a diamond place. You know, they put out some more diamonds perhaps than any other place in the world. I stopped in there to look at them. As we stopped there, my wife and I, as I started in, the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to meet Pat Boone. I thought he was talking about a few days, you know, hence, or maybe a few months away. But God said, I want you to meet him. And he took me in there and he wanted me to meet him right then. I walked through the doors and, of course, there he stood. I walked in and began to talk with him. I began to talk to him about God. I want you to listen to this now. How do you know the singer that I'm speaking of? Any of you acquainted with him? He's a singer. I got in there and began to talk with him. I said, Pat, are you a Christian? He said, well, of course. I said, all right. Now, we got a little conversation, and here's what he told me. He said, Brother Pat, do you know what I'm doing over here? I said, Brother Pat, what are you doing over here? I want you to get this now. This is the movie stars and the singers. I said, what are you doing over here in this country, Pat? The papers had already interviewed him. I had the paper where they took his pictures and interviewed him. The ones that were with him, about, I guess, two or three huge plane loads came on there with him. And I said, what are you doing over here? He said, we are walking through these cathedrals of these paganistic gods. Said, we're going from one to another. And said, as we walk through the cathedrals of these paganistic gods, said, we're calling on Christ to tear them down and to bring them to naught so that God can live in the hearts of the people. Come on, folks.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I saw my movie star talking like that. Amen.
Amen.
The papers carried the article just a few days ago to confirm it. And the reporter stated, said, ladies and gentlemen, it's only been a few months ago, a year or so ago, when men that were in the realms of politics could not discuss religion. But all of a sudden they said, today everything is religion. All of them, including Jimmy Carter and the others, are talking about religion. Why? Why? Somebody would say, well, the pipes, it's because all of us are getting right with God. That's not what it is. I made the statement a few years ago. I said, at the end time, everybody will become religious. But I said, when they become religious, it'll be the worst thing that's ever happened to humanity. Come on, folks. I said it will be the worst thing that's ever happened to humanity. When people become religious, it's the worst thing that could ever happen to humanity.
Amen.
They say, why is that? Because Jesus said, I would that you were hot or cold.
That's right.
Amen. When you're cold, God will deal with you. Amen. God will be merciful to you because you don't know any better. When you're hot and on fire for God, God will bless you with your health and with blessings and prosperity. The Bible said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow.
Amen.
Is that right? Hallelujah. But brother, let me tell you something. When you get religious, then you're not cold anymore. Like my son came to me not too long ago. He's been away from God for a good little while. And I said, son, you better get right with God. I said, things is coming to an end. He said, well, look, Dad, said, you always preached hot or cold. I said, that's right. He said, but Dad, I'm cold. I said, I don't have nothing to do with religion. He said, I'm cold. You see, Dad said, God will have mercy on me until I come back in. I said, no, son. I said, that's where you're wrong. I said, when it says hot or cold, I said, that means somebody that don't know about Jesus. Come on, folks. Amen. 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 Somebody that don't know about Jesus. I said, you can't come to know about Jesus and then be cold any longer. You might not go to church. You might not participate in the things of God. But my brothers and sisters, when you know the will of God, when you get the understanding of the Lord, you can't be cold any longer. Amen. To whom much is given, much is required. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Amen. Have you understood what I'm saying? All right. Now let me say this to you. See, I say again, that we live within the little world with our own understanding. Isn't that right? Some of you come here tonight. I don't know whether you're Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or Church of God or Presbyterian. I preach to all of them. That's right. I preach in their cathedrals. I preach to all of them. But the thing is, here's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. When you come here tonight, you come to judge for the pike. You come to judge the conditions. You come to judge the atmosphere. You come to see what I would say. Isn't that right? That's all right. We want to know. That's all right, but Jesus said, come and let us reason together. Did you come here tonight to try to find out whether it was the Word of God or what you thought about the Word of God? Whether it was the Word of God or what somebody's told you about the Word of God? Amen. You know, the Jews thought they were all right. They had the traditions of the elders. They told them all about the Word of God, but they come to find out it wasn't the Word of God at all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. A lot of things that grandmothers taught you ain't God. A lot of things that your pastors taught you ain't God. A lot of things that you've heard ain't God. A lot of things you've heard on the radio is not God. A lot of things you've read in the newspaper is not God. A lot of things you've seen on the television screens, that's not God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I've had people to get up and walk out from under the tent. I've had people to leave from where I was preaching in the churches. Young men would leave because they did not accept what I said and did not believe what I said. And maybe a year, 2 years, and 3 years later, I would run across and they'd come back and they'd say, Brother Pikes, forgive me for being such a novice and being so foolish as the judge the first day I heard you. Said, I realized how wrong I was and how far from even knowing anything about God I was.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What is it? This is a great hour, folks. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've never known a day like this. You've never known a day like this. This is the great hour of visitation from God. This is our great opportunity. This is the beginning of the greatest thing that God has ever done. Amen. It's right. God is doing something like He's never done in the history of the world before. Hallelujah. But the thing is, the church world won't get this. The Baptists won't get this. And the Methodists won't get this. And the Pentecostals won't get this. Amen. The church world won't get this. But only God's elect will get this. Only the true saints of God will get this. Those that are blood bought and blood washed will get this. Hallelujah. And the church world will be left behind to go through the tribulation period. And brothers and sisters, I know that I can't get it over to you tonight. In one sermon, I couldn't get it over to you in a dozen sermons. But there's one thing that I want you to know tonight. I know that that's true. I know what to tell you to prove that it's true. But you don't have the patience and I don't have the time here to do it. But there's one thing that I can tell you as a minister of God. If you ever run for your life, you run for your life. If you ever quit criticizing the minister, you stop now. If you ever quit tongue lashing, you stop now. If you ever quit backbiting, you stop now. If you ever started living holy, talking holy, and dressing holy, and being holy, it's time that you got started, my friend, because you're already running late. That's the truth, so help me God.
Amen.
I've tuned in on heaven. I know that this is true. This is not just another tent meeting at come. It's not another advertising of miracles that's come. I believe in healing of the sick. We pray for the sick and God heals the sick. I believe in prophecy. We prophesy. I foretell things of the nation. I foretell things of the local community. I foretell things of people's lives. I foretell things of the government. They come to pass. We've got hundreds of tapes. If you'd like to listen at them, it can be proven. But let me tell you something tonight, folks. I don't have the time to go into that. You don't have the patience. Satan has wore the saints of God out with ritualistics, with all kind of revivals, with all kind of false settings, with everything. They're literally worn out till they don't know what to believe anymore. They don't know what they're hearing anymore. They don't understand anymore. They're so confused. It's like the government. They don't know what's right and what's wrong. They don't know what their constitution is. It's the same way with religious people. They don't know what the Bible says anymore.
Right, amen.
They brainwashed him so much. I'll have to confess that the world needs a brainwashing. Amen. But it needs it by the washing of the water of the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. Some folks need their brainwashed, but they need to get it done by the washing of the water of the Word. Then they'll have clean thoughts, my brothers and sisters. Amen. But I buy you record tonight, and you remember what Brother Pike's telling you. Under this little insignificant tent tonight, under this place tonight that seems to be just a nothing here on the corner, something that nobody knows about in one little place in the corner of the world, you bear me record tonight that I didn't come here for a meeting tonight. I didn't come here for revival tonight. I come here because God said go to Columbus. Come come to Columbus, Georgia. And God told me the revelation of why that I was coming to Columbus, Georgia. Why this man, Brother Butler, had to be here at this particular moment. And what I was to come here for. And what it had to do with you and me and him. And the world affairs, not only in the United States, but in the foreign fields. That's the truth, so help me God. All lives will have their part in the lake of fire. Amen. I didn't come here to receive an offering. I can truthfully say this from my heart. If you come to give me an offering tonight, you couldn't give it to me. I do not take personal offerings. God spoke to me years ago and said, son, the priests love gifts. Said, don't you take gifts. I want you to do something for me. I don't want nobody to have strings on you. I don't want nothing to touch. Don't you take an offering. Wherever you go, I'll meet your needs. Amen, brother. He appeared to me in Miami, Florida. Came unto me when I was weary and laying upon a bed. Walked in there and laid down, and God came in the room where I was. Now, I wasn't asleep. Everything turned dark, and God walked into my room. I couldn't see him, but I knew his presence was there. He walked into my room, and I was paralyzed. Daniel said, as a dead man, and I laid there, and I couldn't do anything but think. I couldn't move a muscle. And God came into my room, and as God came over there where I was, he walked up to me, and I couldn't see him, but he picked up this hand right here. He picked it up, and when he picked it up, I heard his wonderful voice. God said unto me, he said, where is the stone of thy birth? I was like a man paralyzed. I couldn't do nothing. All I could do was say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. That's all I could do, just mumble. I felt him lay my hands down as gentle as a mother. He turned around and he went out of the room and he said, I shall get thee one. I felt his presence leave the room. It was still dark. I couldn't see anything. In a little while, he came back into the room. The same Jesus. When he came back in the room, he picked my hand up and I felt him slip a ring on his finger. Hallelujah! And the Spirit of God filled the room. And I heard God's voice speak to me. And God said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, but lo, I shall be with thee in the time of trouble and in the time of need. I've been stranded in the mountains. I've been stranded in the desert. I've been in the different places of the world. But brother, not one time has he ever failed to be with me. At all times, God always spoke. And he'd say to me, son, remember the words I've spoken to you. Hallelujah. Folks, when he placed that ring upon my finger, it was like 10,000 lights lit up in the room. All the darkness was there, vanished into nothing. All of a sudden, instead of laying on the bed, I was standing up on my feet. And I was turned in a different direction. And I looked there standing before me, and there was a great, tall, huge fellow. Well proportioned. It looked like he had chestnut hair with a white garment flowing down to his feet. And looked like he was so tall if we was in the house. I don't know where we was at. But if he was so tall it looked like he would have had to hump over for the ceiling. Amen. He dropped a little something out of his hand. I reached down and picked it up and had to look up to him to hand it back to him. And when I handed it back to him, he smiled at me in a very pleasant sort of a way, and the whole vision went away. For a number of years, I didn't understand it. I cried to God. I begged God. I said, Lord, what is the matter of this visitation? I don't understand. But God told me what it was. And brothers and sisters, it shook me. It shook me in such a way I thought, Lord, can it possibly be? But it is. Amen. And tonight, I wish it was possible that I had the time tonight to share with you what he told me, and had the time tonight to share with you the hour that we're living in, what I understand, and what he's made me to know. But he told me, he said, don't take personal offerings, don't take anything, my son. He said, I will meet your needs. Today, Brother Butler, he has met my needs. Have been hundreds of thousands of dollars. He has blessed me with the finest car to ride in, but I don't bother people about offerings. He's blessed me with a good place to live. He's blessed me with things that we give others, some evangelists as high as $50,000 or $60,000. By faith, we've supported him and put him under huge gospel tents that you could set two or three of these in. Amen. God did it. God did it. He's still doing it today. He's still doing it tonight. Why? Because faith is real. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. God heals. God saves. God forgives. God is the answer to our problems tonight. Amen. That day no man shall save them. No man. For Christ said, I alone shall be exalted in that day. Jesus Christ shall outshine them all. He alone in that day shall be exalted. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me. There's so many things that I'd like to say tonight. So much I'd like to do. But I know that your time is limited. I know that some of you work on jobs. You have to get up early. And I know that some of you have to get home and get a little rest. Now, we're not going to get to be here but a few days. We're already scheduled after. Be here tonight, tomorrow night, and Friday night. And then after that, we're already scheduled to be in Mississippi, Olive Branch, Mississippi. From there, we have to go down to another place down in Mississippi and then over into Charlotte. But I want you to try to come and be with me, if you will. Now, this is the first night. It's the first time I've ever met you. And maybe in these few short minutes or sermons, maybe I'll be able to say something. And I'm sure the revival will continue longer than Friday night. Because I know there's going to be some people here Friday night from out of state or out of town, rather, because I've already had some of them to tell me. And there'll be some that's coming in here toward the last night or two of the meeting. But the thing is, I want you to come and listen to these two or three nights and the few things that I can say to you, which will be very few compared to what I would like to say to you. I hope that in this, you can find a little bit of something that will make you realize that you need to push on for God and really get a hold of God. And I tell you, there's a truth in God. If you ever have made a special effort, folks, to get a hold of God, for Christ's sake, do it now. Honestly, this is the truth from my heart. I wouldn't lie to you. I don't want to go to hell. Flames are awful. If you don't believe it, just stick your foot under the hot scalding water in the bathtub somewhere. And you'll see what I'm talking about. Let me tell you something. Being here in Columbus, Georgia, it has a specific meaning. It has a definite purpose. It has a purpose that tonight it would take me hours just to tell you why that I'm in Columbus, Georgia, and what God is doing concerning the gospel and the entire world and government in this little bald-headed fellow being here in Columbus, Georgia. That's the truth. My hand be raised to heaven. That's the truth. So help me God. Now, so then we've got a little crowd here. Not much of a congregation, have we? I mean, compared to what we have had and compared to what you've been with and other preachers and different things. But folks, I bear your record tonight. God has a specific meaning for you to be here. Amen. There's something more than you'll ever know. That's right. And it's so close. It's so close. With our coming here, the thing that He's doing is so close. Until tonight, I tell you the truth. Now, you're going to laugh at this. You ain't going to believe it. But as I live before God tonight, if some of you knew it, they'd have to put you in a straitjacket. You'd lose your mind before you got them curtains. That's right. Not only that, but if the people of Columbus knew it and the states and nations around the world knew it, you'd have people flying in here from overseas that would be here. You couldn't get in 10 miles of this place. Amen, that's right. That's right, if they knew what I was doing here. It's like a fellow came to me the other day and he said, Brother Pike, he said, I had the strangest vision. I said, what kind of vision did you have? The man fasted 40 days at a time. He's done it a number of times, always fasted and prayed. I said, what kind of vision did you have? He said, here at Little Bethlehem, I saw an amber cloud fall down over this place and said, so many people came here, said it went slap from the tabernacle through the city and said, I couldn't even get a parking place around even citywide. He said, people was coming from everywhere running. Folks, I hope you can understand tonight. That doesn't mean that Brother Pike's any different from anybody else. I'm just a man. But I'm telling you something tonight that's happening in the spiritual realms that the church world knows nothing of. I confess that I knew nothing of it. Though I'd fasted and prayed and been in many churches with many people in the best of scholars, I knew nothing of it. But tonight I'm fortunate enough to know. All right, as they play a little bit on the organ tonight, I hope that something has been said under these few words that will make you think, make you consider tonight. I tell you. what I'd like to do tonight, this being the first night of the meeting. On Tuesday night, on Thursday night, which is tomorrow night, and Friday night, if the Lord is kind to us and if He's willing, I'd like to pray for the sick both nights. Tonight, I just want to pray for you as a whole tonight, but because we was late getting in, and I know you're a little weary, and I'm a little weary tonight. But I tell you what I want you to do tonight. While they're playing on the organ, I want you to step out tonight. And I want you to step up here with me around the altar. Can you do that? Come on up, folks. Step up here around the altar. Come on. I feel you say, well, I'm a sinner, Brother Pike. That's all right. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You got breath tonight. That means you owe praise to God. Whether you're a Christian or not, you got breath. He's let you live. He's been kind to you. He's given you grace. I owe Him praise tonight. You owe Him praise tonight. No, you might not be a Christian. Come on up and stand here with us tonight. You know, I tell you, folks, it's like, don't ever be in a hurry to go from the presence of God. Hezekiah one time, because he took a little time for the Lord, God gave him 15 long years. Amen. Because he took a few minutes for God. And tonight, you may take 15 minutes from God, and God may take 15 years off of your life. You may give Him 5 or 10 minutes, God may add 5 or 10 years to your life. Amen. Hezekiah said, I've done that pleased you. Oh, Brother Isaiah said, thus saith the Lord, said, set your house in order, you're going to die. Isn't that right? Amen. But that same prophet, his old brother Hezekiah, cried to God and said, Lord, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I'm trying to do what you told me. God said to that prophet, said, go back, Isaiah, and tell him I've added 15 years to his life. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I wouldn't doubt a bit but what this very night that there's some of you standing here that would be in your grave tonight. Amen. From sickness or some tragedy or something out on the highway somewhere. I wouldn't doubt it a bit. But what, that you prayed to God and found favor in God because you tried to do the right thing and God's giving you more years. And that's why you're here tonight. How do you believe that's true? Hallelujah. All right, I want us to sing a little chorus together tonight. I really feel God here tonight. I feel His wonderful presence. I feel faith in the heart of you folks. I'm glad to see our brother here with us tonight. I feel faith in the heart of you fellas tonight, you ladies. I feel the presence of God here, and I feel faith in some of His heart. And I feel a humility and a humbleness toward the things of God. And I want to unite with you tonight, my faith and your faith with me tonight. And I want us to pray that God will do something for the community and God will do something for the area. How many pray for lost souls? Did you know the Bible said pray? You know, we have to pray that God will grant repentance unto life to them that are without. Did you know that? See, God leaves them in a sovereignty. He can't approach on their rights. He can't do it. They are a sovereignty. They may go for years and God never interfere with them. But if we pray, if they're our loved ones, our neighbors, if we pray, then God can do something to catch their attention from our prayers. You see what I mean? If I pray and I say, Lord, save my son, God isn't going to, you know, just pounce right down on him and take away his sovereignty. I mean, it's like a man bursting into your home. God isn't going to do that. But what he will do, he'll let a wreck happen out here close to where he's at. In other words, he'll prepare his heart to be over here at a certain area when a tragedy happens or when a man of God's testified or something's happening to get his attention. And he'll keep dropping something around him here and there until finally gets his attention and then pulls him in to where he can deal with him. Is that right? But if we don't pray for people, God can't get to them, folks. I know that don't sound right, but that's the truth. We stand in Christ's stead beseeching the world to be reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you got a job tonight as intercessors, a royal priesthood, to pray that God will grant repentance of life unto them that are without. That's a great calling in God. Did you know that? Samuel said, I wouldn't dare fail God or sin against the people or against God by not praying for the people. Would you? He said it was a sin against God when we didn't pray for the people. All right, with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's what the apostle said. Temples of the Holy Ghost. God walks in it and talks in it. You're living temples of life. And John in the book of Revelation, just dropping a little tab of Revelation tonight. John in the book of Revelation said, behold, the tabernacle of God is among me. And the world doesn't know that, see. They say, oh, he's a man just like I'm a man. She's a woman just like I'm a woman. But the Bible said you're the living tabernacle of God. John saw you in a vision in the earth. And God on the inside walking inside of you. You're the tabernacle of God, and God's in you wherever you go. And the world doesn't know it. They don't know it. See, they say, oh, he's just a man like I'm a man. Just a woman. But you're more than that. You're sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. You aren't now. I want you to sing this little chorus with me. And after that, we're going to pray for you as a whole tonight. And God will heal you. How do you believe God will heal you? When I say God will heal you, heal. I really believe that. God has healed me so many times to heal people that we prayed for. And God will heal you, my brother and sister. I want you to believe with me tonight. I feel faith. Some of you got faith because I feel it here tonight. Hallelujah. I feel that virtue that Jesus spoke of that goes out of the body of Jesus Christ when people believe. Is that right? You ever felt that when somebody around you believing? Just feel that virtue coming out of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody get it. That's healing virtue, isn't right? That's healing virtue. Salvation. Okay, let's sing this little chorus together. Sing this little chorus like this. I need thee. The Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He said to make straight paths for yourself, lest that which is lame be turned aside, but rather let it be healed. All right, tonight, I want to pray for you. When I pray for you tonight, God's going to do something for you. You mark what I'm telling you. As sure as I live tonight, when I pray for you, somebody's going to get healed tonight, and somebody's going to get a touch from God. There's going to be some evil spirits that will be broken off of people. Devils and demons have been troubling people. There's going to be a liberty in some of your hearts that you haven't felt before. There's going to be some oppression that will be taken away that's never been taken away before after we pray tonight. Hallelujah. God will bless you tonight, my
my brothers and sisters. He'll bless, he'll break the yoke of unbelief off of you. The word God can prosper you and bless you in health, in happiness, and paying your bills. In financial blessings, God will bless you tonight. Amen. The blessing of God maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I will pray for you, and I want you to believe in me tonight. Hallelujah. I want you to believe that from the Spirit hour, that things are going to change in your life, and things are going to be different from what they've ever been at any time in your life. I want you to do that tonight with me as I pray. Will you do it? Hallelujah. Father, tonight these people I bring before your throne. These people tonight, Father, with their eyes turned to heaven, they're your people tonight. Lord God, they're believing tonight, and they're looking to thee, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, they're expecting of thee tonight, God, that you should do something for them. I feel their faith tonight. I pray, oh God, that thy Spirit would come down tonight. And Father, every sick person tonight, I pray, God, that you'll heal them. I feel you heal them right now, God. I feel you doing something for them right now. I pray, God, that you will heal them tonight and make them well. In the wonderful name of Jesus tonight, heal these sick bodies. Restore life as you did to Hezekiah. And give them a special touch from God tonight. A healing of their body, Father, tonight. To break the yokes off the oppressing spirits tonight, Father, be taken away. And may life be richer and more abundant and greater tonight, Father, than ever before in their lives. May they feel something tonight. That they feel